Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to the Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. I'm Emily Collin.
And I'm Laura Jolly.
And LJ, I am in Dhaka. You are in Melbourne. And today on the show, we've got Taylor Vollemic joining us. We actually spoke to her back in Melbourne before we departed for Bangladesh. But Taylor obviously got a recall back to the Aussie squad ahead of this series after a pretty long and torturous road for her. So it was great to see her excitement back in Melbourne, and she's also been very up and about to be back in the squad here in Bangladesh as well.
How good is that? And so Em, you got into Dhaka a couple of days ago now. What are your first impressions? What's it like?
First impressions, I actually I've found it quite overwhelming, to be honest. I've never been to India or any other subcontinental country before, so I feel like every hour of the day I'm seeing something new. Like even getting into the airport, we flew with Dan Marsh, one of the coaches, and Talia McGrath, who went back to Adelaide quickly after finishing up the WPL. And, you know, it's just like a different world. Like we kind of just get whisked away by the Bangladesh cricket board people who were there to meet us, and you know there's like lots of language barriers, everything's gone really smoothly. We're being looked after a lot. Like we travel to the ground, to and from the ground in the hotel with a police escort, so we've got two buses, a lot of police cars around us and a lot of sirens, and they're all basically trying to clear the roads for us to get to the ground quickly because the traffic it's chaotic. Like driving through the roads is just absolute mayhem. So, very different conditions to Australia, England or any other countries that like I've toured in before. So, but it's been cool. It's been cool to get a sense of, cricket in Bangladesh.
Awesome. And there's been, I guess, the players, like you mentioned, have also come in at different times. You had the group coming from Australia who won in the WPL. Pairs Soap and Wolf came in fresh off that win for RCB in the WPL. Yeah. How have those late arrivals settled in, and you know, are they tired? Are they coping?
Well, everyone has come in dribs and drabs. Like there's been 3 days. Some of us came in on Saturday, some on Sunday, and some yesterday on Monday. So we had a training yesterday. There were maybe six players, and then today we still haven't got a full squad training because those players you mentioned, Pez, Soph, Wolf from RCB, the champions, they only flew in late yesterday. So as well as Midge, Grace Harris, Annabelle Sutherland. So, still haven't had a full training session. I assume they're pretty tired. I mean, it's been a pretty hectic schedule for those girls who have gone straight from Perth, WPL, straight back here to Bangladesh. So I assume they're pretty tired, but the girls that I've seen so far, like they're up and about. I mean, you know, playing cricket for Australia is still playing cricket for Australia. So they're happy to be here, happy to be all back together. And I think ready to get stuck into some cricket on Thursday.
So just touching on the squad that's over there in Bangladesh, we saw that there were those two changes announced initially with Taylor Vollemic and Soph Molyneux back in, replacing Heather Graham and Jess Jonathan, which was a really big omission.
Yeah.
What do you make of those calls? And we'll touch on Darcy Brown too in a minute.
Yeah, it was a really big call to omit Jess Jonathan in particular, I think. I mean, she's been such a mainstay in this squad. And, you know, she went back to the WNCL, had a really strong performance for Queensland, I think took 4 wickets or something before going over to the WPL with the Delhi Capitals. And she was outstanding. I think, yeah, she took bulk wickets consistently. So I think that would have been definitely satisfying for Jess Johnson, who certainly sounds like she thinks she's still got more to give to this team. But, yeah, I guess for now it sounds like Sophie Molyneux is that preferred left arm off spin option. We obviously saw her come in for the test match in Perth, and now she's back for this white ball stuff as well, which is obviously crucial heading into the T20 World Cup, which is in Bangladesh just later this year. So
yeah, and just the day before everyone set off to Darcy Brown ruled out. Bit of a worrying one there. It looks like they've just picked up that she had a slight stress injury to her navicular bone, which is obviously the injury that's kept Taylor Vlemic out of the game for so long on two occasions. It doesn't sound like there's really a timeline on when she might be back yet.
Nah, it doesn't sound like there's a timeline, but I think from what I can gather, I don't think it's as bad as Taylor's. I think they got it as early as they possibly could have. I think Darcy was pretty flat to be missing out on this tour. Some of the girls were saying yesterday that she's a player who loves touring around to different sort of places and getting new experiences. So I think Bangladesh would have been somewhere that she would have been really excited to come to. So I think she's a bit sad, but I think, I think there is an opportunity for her to come back later in the year. I don't think it's too dire for her.
And so first ODI on Thursday, any predictions on who might be in that team and what we should expect?
Pretty tough to predict, LJ, I reckon. I get the sense that there might be a bit of experimenting this tour, and they might be trying out some different combinations just to get a handle on what the conditions are like and to try and give players as much exposure to these conditions as possible. So I feel like we could see a few rotations throughout the series. First ODI, I'm predicting an unchanged 11. The only change we might see if might have more spin options, and we might sub out a pace option. So maybe, you know, might see Kimmy or Shooter have a rest and maybe another spin option come in. So who knows? We'll find out on Thursday. But yeah, I reckon there'll be a bit of chopping and changing.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. And what are you expecting from the conditions and the pitch? Do you think it's going to suit the spinners?
All the chat suggests yes. Everyone's saying that, yeah, this conditions here are generally pretty conducive to spinners. So I don't think the girls have actually, or the coaches have had a chance to look at the wicket yet. I think it's been under the covers for the 2 days that we've been here. I do know that it's very foggy. It's very humid. More reports is basically similar conditions to India in terms of like air quality, fogginess. Like you can't really see the blue sky. It just looks like it's cloudy the whole time. So yeah, it'll be hot for the girls out there. But yeah, I'm sure they're all well equipped to deal with it.
I'm sure they are. And just finally, we've just got confirmation of how people can watch the series.
Yes.
A last minute bit of info we've got there, but how can people tune in if they're in Australia?
So Aussie fans, great news. You'll be able to tune in to this whole series. So you'll be able to watch it on the BCB YouTube page or the BCB Facebook page. So we're unsure of what the broadcast setup might be, like if there's commentary, multiple cameras, but for those loyal fans out there wanting to watch, there will be a way. So you'll have that to rely on. And then obviously we're on the ground here with our cameraman, Sam. So we'll have you covered for different highlights, different video content, which you'll be able to find across our social platforms and, of course, cricket.com.au and the CA Live app. Great to catch up, LJ. I better head back to training. But for now, you can enjoy listening to a very fun chat with Taylor Vlemic. Hey, Vlemic, thank you so much for joining us today on The Scoop. Firstly, congratulations on your return to the Aussie squad. Firstly, Tay, start to finish, tell us how you got the news that you were back in the green and gold.
Thanks for having me on. I'm pretty excited. I was kind of sitting on my bed actually after training, just taking a moment, and Flegg's name popped up on the screen and my heart instantly dropped, I think, as everyone does when his number comes up. And he asked me, he said, do you fancy a trip to Bangladesh? And I had to ask him to repeat himself because I actually didn't hear him. And I was like, what was that, sir? And I was, after that, I pretty much just said about three words for 3 minutes and he just kept speaking and then asking if I was still there, pretty much. It was the extent of the conversation, and asked about any questions, and I said probably, but I can't think of them right now. And
that's so good.
That was it. Hung up, and yeah, I had a good chat to him in Adelaide, and yeah, I'm just pretty excited.
Flegs must have some really funny, fun conversations.
I reckon he would. It's funny because, like, as soon as he hung up and I had like 10 minutes just to compose, there were so many things you'd obviously rather say, you know, like, thank you so much, like, you know, thanks for sticking by me, all these things. But like, in the moment, you just go, yep. So did you want to come? Yep. Thank you. Yep. And it's just like, how many times can you say yes and thank you before it's like, he just wants to hang up.
And who's the first person you told after you found out?
I rang mum and dad straight away while I was still pacing the house. I'd probably up to about 20 laps by that point. And they were really excited. They've obviously like done a lot through the whole thing as well. And I remember like little times when I couldn't drive, mum and they'd come pick me up from Melbourne, drive me back up and back in the same day, when I just wanted to go home for a bit, like that kind of stuff. They were obviously really excited. I think the first thing they said was, I wish it was in like the West Indies or somewhere where they wanted to come to. But they'll be watching and they're very excited. And then I think Flegs might have mentioned to Wolf and Soph when he called them that there might have been some good news. So I had a few leading messages after that asking how my day had been going and things like that. So I called them and that was really nice.
Were they pumped?
Yeah, they were so excited. And I think we're just really excited the band's back together again.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've sort of all toured together. So, I'm just really excited to be able to hang out with them again.
Yeah, pumped. And what about for you, Tate? Like, did you sort of take a moment to reflect on what it means to you, and did you sort of think about all the hard work that you've put in, and was this something that you were aiming for?
Yeah, I think once I'd sort of called mum and dad and just was sitting there in the quiet for a little bit, it all started to sink in a little bit. I think, I suppose when people say, like, what was the motivation to keep training and
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And to keep getting back and things like that, I think the overarching thing ever since I sort of left that first tour in Adelaide was getting back on tour. And obviously throughout the last 2-3 years, there's been different motivations at different times. And I think, the overarching one's always been play for Australia again. But, you know, at times it was literally just, can I bowl another ball, or like get on the pitch in the Victorian team, or can I do like lots of little things with this kind of being the overarching goal. So, I think I always believed I could do it, but for it to actually come true, it was kind of like, it took a little bit to actually sink in that it happened, I suppose.
Good. We spoke to Soph when she got to Perth ahead of the test match, and she said she kind of had to put a recall out to the back of her mind, and, you know, she didn't want to be dwelling on it too much. Yeah. Was it something that was in your mind when you came back and you were playing for Victoria the last couple of months?
I think it was very similar to Soph, and I think it really helped as well, just how much fun I was having around the Vic group. I think I've said it a few times now, but the group's been incredible, especially over the last 2 years, like just being able to sort of connect with the younger girls and spend enough quality time here, especially being back training around the nets and stuff like that. I think sometimes rehab, when you're just in the gym and that kind of thing, you don't have the same connection. You don't spend as much time together. But the last little bit, being able to fully train with them, play with them, I've just really enjoyed my time. So I think you know, whilst that was always the goal, I suppose I wasn't necessarily thinking about it as much because I was just loving playing for Victoria so much. And I think the fact that we won seven on the trot or whatever, and finals became, you know, a thing, and there was so much distracting me from that kind of thing, which is probably a good thing, I suppose.
I feel like Soph said literally exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
That you guys were just...
Yeah. Well, I know Soph was, like, pumped when she got the call. You know, the first thing she did was obviously, yeah, she was really excited. We had a hug and she couldn't believe she was back on tour. And then, like, 10 minutes later, she goes, oh, but, like, I'm going to miss the Vic game and, like, we need fight. Like, that was... She felt bad that she was going to miss that thing. So I think that's the sort of culture that we'd created where everyone was loving playing so much.
Yeah, that's
cool. She was almost like, how do I play both? Kind of thing. That was really cool.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. For you, Tay, like, you mentioned, like, when you were rehabbing, training, whatever, what about outside of that stuff? Like, what have you been sort of doing outside? Like, what does your life look like when you're not doing that sort of stuff without cricket?
It's been a bit of random stuff, I suppose, like a bit of study in the background, which was good just to, you know, get home and just do something productive or studying, feel like you're doing something productive.
Studying what?
Well, the end goal is to be a physio, but that's a bit hard at the moment with, you know, travel and getting to classes and stuff. So just doing sort of online subjects to make that easier.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like I've already done my degree in physio, to be honest.
You've been qualified
from the textbook stuff. I feel like I've got the rehab plans down pat. Been able to spend a lot more time back home, which I've loved. When I was travelling a lot early days when I was younger out of school and stuff, I didn't get to spend as much time with my friends back home. Yeah. And you'd get home after 3 months or whatever and they'd have new friends and have different things going on and you'd be like not sure what was happening. You always just felt a bit out on the outside. So it's been nice just to be able to connect with them again.
That's cool.
Been on a few random holidays.
Nice.
Spent a lot of time in here, to be fair, annoying our physio on S&C. It's been good.
It's obviously been a while now since you played for Australia, but how do you feel like you've changed or grown up as a person during these few big injuries?
I think I've learned definitely to appreciate playing and training a lot more. Mm. I'd like to think that I've been able to learn to control myself a little bit better and not have to be a bully to get at everything.
Yeah.
Know when I need to do things and sometimes when I don't. I still obviously love bowling, so to opt out of a session or to rein one in is obviously still really hard, but... I've got better at being able to understand where people are coming from, I suppose. Mm. And I'd like to think me and the physio won't have as many fights this time about how many overs I'm allowed to bowl and that kind of thing. I hope I can still bring that like love and energy for the game back to the group. I still love playing and training and that kind of thing, but hopefully just maybe a little bit smarter these days.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, no, you're a kind of like an all or nothing type character. You've got so much energy. Have you had to change that or?
Well, see, I think that's probably one of my strengths is that I can go in and go at 110% and have a real crack. I think it's just knowing the times for that now.
Yeah.
That used to be just the only way I operated. I think now it's just knowing I can still do that and there is still a place for that. Obviously, if you want to try and run in a bowl as fast as you can, you need to practice doing that or it gets pretty hard when you get out into the middle. But it's just how much of that practice versus how much of other things.
Mm.
I think it's just the timing piece more than anything.
Yeah.
How good. And the Aussie team's changed a fair bit over the last couple of years. You've got a new coach, new skipper. How are you feeling about going back into that setup?
I'm really excited about it. I actually sat down with Shell over a toasty in Adelaide at the 3-day game and she was just catching me up on, you know, what's new around the group and stuff. And she started off by saying, well, I'm the coach and Meg's not the captain and Mitch is the captain. And so I was going through.
Yeah.
It's going to be very different. But I also think I was pretty lucky throughout that 2 or 3 years, however long it's been, that I was still involved in the training camps and pre-season camps and that sort of thing. So, while it feels like I haven't been on tour with the group in a long time, I still feel like I have that little foot in the door and that little connection with everyone still, where it's not going to feel like, you know, I walk in and I haven't seen the girls in 2 years. It'll still be, I think I'll still feel like the first day of school vibes when I go into the first training session, but I'm just really excited about it.
That's pretty cool that like they've allowed you to keep that foot in the door and sort of kept you on the books, like kept you around the group. Like that like might seem like a small thing, but I'm sure it felt pretty special for you.
Yeah, 100%. And I think even like little things like going up to Brisbane this last little bit, doing camps and, going up and just training with the S&C and physio for a week. Going to their pre-season camps while I couldn't train and just doing rehab or having a hit in the nets or little things like that. Like it gave firstly probably like a fresh breath of fresh air, change of scenery,
yeah.
Something to kind of look forward to. Like I'd look at my weeks and go, I've got two more weeks of training, then go to Brisbane. And it even though you were doing the same thing, it didn't feel like you were training. It was just something different, new people.
Yeah.
So that helped break it up heaps. And, I guess it helped that overarching goal of getting back into Australia. It kind of made that feel a little bit more realistic throughout the whole thing, I think, which really helped. It was really nice.
Yeah, nice. And in terms of fast bowling, do you feel like you're as quick as you were before the injuries? Have you had to change much about your technique?
Yeah, I was changing a bit of my, like, foot patterning and stuff, just trying to get it all a little bit. I think if you watch videos from before, I know I did when I was remodelling it a little bit, I wondered how it was physically possible that I got the ball down the other end, somewhat on the pitch sometimes. It was pretty erratic. So I've just tried to streamline it all a little bit, get it all a little bit more repeatable. Hopefully it's better on my foot. But, yeah, whilst trying to maintain the speed, because I think that's, for me, the most important thing. I don't want to run out there and, you know, be out there all the time but not be able to bowl fast. So, hopefully I can bowl the same pace. It's just going to take a little bit of time to, I suppose, get comfortable doing it in the middle again.
See, Shabnim Ismail clocked at 132 the other day.
Yeah, I did. The girls were actually getting ripped into me in the 3-day game. It must have happened on like day 2 or day 3 or something like that. And I had a spell late on day 3 with a new ball, and every ball I bowled, someone would be yelling. They're like, oh, I reckon that's 124. And I just start yelling. They're like, Shabnim, like just yelling stuff like that at me. So that was quite funny. Gave a bit of laugh to the game, which was good.
What do you reckon you've been clocked at? What's the fastest you've been clocked at?
Oh, I don't know. I think I had one at Metricon, like 150, didn't I?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
I don't know what this Shabnim is now. It's the fastest ball.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No, the funniest part about that was that people actually believed it. And, like, yeah, I was like, wait, I don't know if you guys are joking or like, I was like, wait, what? Like, surely let's use our common sense here a little bit, guys. But I don't know. Maybe like 125, 123, something like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kimmy G's in the Aussie team now, which you probably wouldn't have played with her in the Green Goal before.
Nah.
It feels like there's the Victoria and the Navy Blues seeping back into that Aussie team. Are you looking forward to playing with all your Vic teammates in the Aussie colours again?
Yeah, it's going to be good. And that's another thing I think that makes me feel a lot more comfortable about going back to the group, is that, like, all my best mates, just all my best mates there. So that's really cool. Exciting. And I don't mean Sophie always used to talk about it, but that always used to be the saddest part when you'd say goodbye to them all again. And they'd come back for a week and it'd be so much fun at training and you'd be like, oh, you know, everyone's back, how good's this? And then you'd give them a hug and be like, all right, we'll see you in 3 months. Like, off you go. So, but yeah, I'd actually go and just be with them. It's going to be really fun. So, I don't know how many, maybe like six of us or something like that.
Strong.
But starting to infiltrate the team a little bit. So, yeah, it'll be good.
That's where it should be.
Exactly.
Like you said, the band's back together, and you, Sophie, and Wolf all sort of burst into the team around the same time, won that World Cup together in 2018. How much does it mean for the three of you to get back, given what you've all been through?
Yeah, it's really cool. And, I don't know if it'll happen or not, but being able to all play together would be awesome. I think I played with Soph, obviously, in a few of the Vic games, but that would have been the first time in years. And I don't think I've played a game with Wolf since I would have been a T20 in Adelaide, I reckon, in the Ashes, which was in, like, 29. No, I don't even think she had a knee at the Ashes, so it would have been in India, like a test match at Metricon or something, against India, which was like 4 years ago or something like that. So, just to be able to get out of the park with those guys again will be really good fun,
Do you feel like it's made you guys sort of, like, you were always close, like you used to live together, do you feel like all the setbacks you've been through have made you closer?
Yeah, a little bit. I think I've always said, like, everyone always, you know, has your best interests and, you know, tries to, you know, come up and ask how you're going and that kind of thing. But I think it's different when someone asks who's been through it as well. And I think that's where Soph and Wolf, and Soph in particular, the last little bit has been amazing. There's times, you know, they come up and ask how you're going and stuff, and then times where they just know there's no point even bothering.
Yeah.
It's better just to go for lunch afterwards and stuff like that. Like, so, yeah, I think they've been massive in the last little bit. So to be able to kind of, knowing what we've all done, I think to be able to go back out there and play together would be really special.
Awesome. Tay, we're pumped for you. Can't wait to see you back in the green and gold in Bangladesh. It's going to be really exciting after all the hard work you put in. So congratulations and thank you for joining us on Scoop today. And, yeah, all the best.
No, thank you very much. We'll see you in Bangladesh.
See you in Dhaka.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.